For June the 7th, 2013, we talk about the Walking Dead rumors, the Silent Age, and we ask you what you're looking forward to at E3. Welcome to the 23rd Level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Moneysmith.
And my name is Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level, a podcast for people who love video games. Love them. I mean, like, really. I mean, would take a bullet. I mean, would shoot the bullet and then somehow take that bullet. Video games are your world entire. And we are the silent observers who egg you on and are just, like, right there in your face. Saying,
you like video games so much that you listen to a podcast about video games.
Several, actually. So, that's our story. We've got some stuff here to talk about. And instead of talking about what we're going to talk about, let's do it.
Sweet.
Hooray.
Proactive.
It's the brief where we talk about the things that are happening in this world around us. Dear God, it never stops. Kind of a slow week this week because of E3 coming up next week.
So it apparently has stopped.
Kind of, yeah. Everybody's saving the big stuff for the for the big show.
For the show.
There's a little bit of stuff. There might be some overlap in us. Does anybody have one they want to volunteer?
I've got one I can go with.
Do it.
Apparently there's a, I guess it's a video game studio called Fure Entertainment out of Canada that is gotten permission to excavate a landfill in New Mexico. Because apparently...
That's an urban legend.
Well, yeah, according to the urban legend, Atari dumped a whole bunch of copies of its E.T. game there, and they're now looking for them. So, I guess this was just a game that was either the first or one of the first, movie tie-in games, and it kind of set the tone for them just being awful.
Yeah, so the problem with that, so it is a notoriously bad Atari game, at least notoriously misunderstood. It was rushed to market. It was like one guy who developed it over the course of like 5 months. It was either E.T. or Pac-Man, where they were so bullish on how good it was going to do that they actually manufactured more copies of the game than there were Atari 2600s in existence.
Whoa.
Thinking that it would push I think that was Pac-Man, honestly, that was the case, but they made way too many of E.T. as well, and so there's that urban legend that in order to get rid of the surplus, because it was just dying on the shelf, they had to, or they opted to, bury them in the desert for reasons.
I like to imagine that some point years later, someone built like a house over top of the site, and then like it suddenly was like haunted by Pac-Man ghosts.
or it was flooded with ultra radon.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, there is a guy now who has buried a game in the desert quite intentionally. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
It was a part of some gaming conference, but it's a board game, and it's a game that he invented for people of the future to play. And then he did some sort of encoding thing where he went out into the desert, he buried it somewhere, and had the GPS location for it, and then encoded it in such a way that it would take roughly a million years to decode.
Okay.
And I forget how he did it. He like printed out on a million sheets of paper and handed it out to a bunch of different people. And each person had one bit of it. And so anyway, the intent is that some civilization long after we're gone would find the game and play it, which hopefully that game represents us a lot better than E.T. would.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's all they're going to conclude is, wow, I can't believe someone wasted their life so incredibly completely as to do this.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So okay, so this did you say this was a game developer or a film like a movie studio?
For which story?
Oh, for the film crew, or I'm sorry, for the ET.
It, you know, the story I have doesn't.
Oh,
it's clear.
It's a film production company.
Oh, I guess that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a multimedia marketing company, who just decided to pick up their cameras and go out there and do that thing.
Which, let's be honest, that makes about as much sense as most reality TV shows.
Kid Nation was awesome.
Well, I'm thinking more of like the Ghost Hunter shows. Like, you know, they could be out there like digging through the rubble with like poorly controlled, you know, thermal cameras, and like, oh, in this scene, I'm pretty sure you see just a little bit of ET's arm.
I kind of wonder what their purpose was in going to do that, because I can't see anything that they're actually trying to market. Like, Atari is like as bankrupt as possible right now.
Well, how much is an ET game in mint condition worth?
Oh, I'm sure it's not worth that much, honestly.
Really? Okay. My reasoning was going to be, so it's, you know, this bad game that did incredibly poorly, so they went out and got rid of a bunch of them, but that made it relatively rare, and now it's become this kind of famous entry into our history. And if you could find it, treasure hunter style, Nathan Drake style, you'd be rich.
Yeah, so I see like a sealed factory condition, blah blah blah, is $79 American, whereas there are copies going for as little as like 63 cents. So
some of the stuff I read was kind of suggesting maybe they cared about for the historical value, you know, as being, you know, one of the first, you know, examples of, excuse me, a video game doing a tie-in and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, the thing that's, I could understand this if this was, you know, one of those things, you know, there's, if you can look up like on Wikipedia, but, you know, there's several like movies that there's like no known copies of in the wild. So I could understand if it was something like this, but like if you think, you know, it belongs in a museum, just go to eBay.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Kinds of tie-in products. I can't actually find what the first one is. So
I sent you guys a
tie-in product?
Link. Oh.
Yeah, the first video game tie-in.
What's this link?
I sent you guys a link of Steven Spielberg being wrong.
let's see here.
We turn it over to the Howard Warshaw and some of the fellows at Atari, and Howard, who is a certifiable a genius, went off, and about a number of weeks later came back with a concept and a game plan. And I saw the game plan, a very rough scheme of the game, and I was amazed at how difficult it was, and yet at the same time, how much fun it was to play.
That's funny. I don't know. I would be interested to know if it's an urban legend or not. I've heard that it's an urban legend, but...
See, the game's being out there, or the film crew looking for it?
The game's being out there. Yeah.
See, that's something I never quite understood, is why, you know, there's been several examples of, you know, companies just trying to bury a bad product, figuratively and literally. I think of like the Star Wars Christmas special. Something like that. But what I don't quite get is why they care so much.
I mean, I don't know. Like in that case, it's to control the archive. You know, think about Disney with the Song of the South, right? Like, that thing will never, ever see a release again in this world. and VHSs of that movie are actually traded on white supremacist chat boards, like message boards.
Yikes.
It's pretty funny. But yeah, no, I mean, just kind of like they just want it to go away, you know, and you under the misguided, you know, idea that they could probably, you know, put the genie back in the bottle. But
I just mean, like, I don't think anyone is, you know, like, yeah, if like EA could get rid of like the recent SimCity, yeah, they'd probably be happy. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anyone's like, no, I'm not going to buy an Atari game. Do you remember that E.T. thing? Like, no one cares, or like, you know, just
well, but I mean, it was it was emblematic of like of people not trusting video games and the crash of 83 and et cetera. Like, that game is like blamed, at least, you know, historically, for making people think all video games were horseshit, because it was horseshit.
Yeah, it could also have been a situation, this is the pragmatist in me, where it was getting expensive to store all the copies. And so it was simply cheaper to dump the inventory that you knew wasn't going to move than to continue to pay for the warehouse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sure, that I'm sure that is true then. I just mean now, why don't you just go to Atari and be like, hey, this is true?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. So, like, did we bury it or not?
Yeah, like...
Yeah. It was reported in the press, so, like, they came out and said, yes, it was buried.
Okay.
It's just people don't know how many there were buried. I feel weird because like so many people talk about this stuff, to talk about this event entire, you know, this event in its entirety, so it's really hard. I mean, people, I'm looking at this stuff right now, like in September 29th, 1983, they poured a layer of concrete over crushed materials, which is a rare circumstance. Like, there's a
Chernobyl
bunch of stuff
style.
Kind of, yeah, trying to seal it up. So it's really hard to tell what and where. So the idea of the thing is actually taken on a life of its own beyond the thing itself.
I think we really need to come up with like better urban legends. Like, actually, the game was an alien mind control plot, and they did this in order to keep it from ever falling into the wrong hands.
Yeah, yeah. What's funny?
Like, I like that version.
The game was made out of alien technology, and it just wanted to go home.
We had to put him under a cement blanket so he couldn't get out of bed. Bed is Earth, you see. I think the video games hot dog guys did that as one of their assignments. The E.T. Atari game. I'll try and find that episode and link it. But yeah. Who's next?
I can do one.
Yeah, go ahead then.
Oh. It's news that is good news for Cole and Dennis, and not so great news for me.
Everything is good news for everybody.
Aw.
If it's good news for us, it's good news for you. What up?
Aw. Sid Meier's making a game for Apple iOS.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Ooh.
What
up? It's going to be an airplane dogfighter, not real-time strategy, but turn-based game.
Oh, that's already out.
All right.
Is it?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
When did it drop?
It was a... let me see here. Planes. Ace Patrol, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's been out for a little bit.
Oh,
I haven't played it, but I know about it. It's like Civilization, but with planes, and it's turn-based dogfighting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I guess since I did not have an Apple device, I did not know this.
is it coming out on Android?
No. The article that I read only talked about it coming out on iOS and how it was his first iOS game.
Oh yeah.
The first game that he did not make for PC.
Mm, right. Yeah, it'll likely come out on Android. That's generally the way things shake out, is it comes out on one, then the other.
One of the tagline...
Go ahead.
The tagline for the game is, take to the skies, which is kind of like Arrested Development's. Whatever.
That's fine. No, that's...
All right, never mind. My story sucks.
No, you...
I'm reading about it now. We've recently go ahead.
I can't comment on this without just starting to spew like blatant anti-Apple rhetoric. So
okay, so how is Sid Meier choosing to choosing to put his game out on a platform, like something against Apple.
Oh, no, no, it's something against Sid Meier.
Okay. that he put it out on a place where he knew he would have an audience for it.
Yeah,
like them's not fighting words. Like mobile
this
games
is an Apple
are
Apple PC throwdown.
No, but it's not even an Apple PC thing. It's like here is a successful app marketplace. You know, let's put it out here as opposed to this other one. I mean, it's no different than somebody saying like, "Huh, shooters are really really popular on the Xbox," and then putting that shooter out on the Xbox.
See, the difference is the Xbox is not pure evil.
Well, jeez. Okay, so you are no longer making arguments based in reality or rational thoughts, so we can safely move on.
Wait, did you do that at one time?
Like, that's basically what I meant when I said spewing blatant anti-Apple rhetoric.
So just the one comment, I'm looking at a review now. You know, it seems to be well-reviewed and looks like something I might have to check out. But the little icons, the portraits for your what I assume are your characters or your units are incredibly creepy. Like they look like they're pictures of actual people, but they're just cartoony enough or like drawn in. What's the name?
Ace Patrol.
It looks like if you took, you know, how Walking Dead has kind of that cartoony overlay to it.
Yeah, the weird proportions.
if you just took that and pushed it into Uncanny Valley,
mm-hmm.
That's right where this art style lies. So
I
don't know if I could play this game having these people staring at me for hours on end.
Right.
I just pulled up the screenshots. I think part of it is just the fact that they all have these bizarre, like, smiles.
Yeah. Like, you would expect to see them, like, print, like those pictures, like, printed out with the eyes, like, burned through with cigarettes.
Yeah.
These are very happy Nazis staring at me.
Yeah. Well, you know, depending on what year it was.
Every Nazi, Tatsy, Nazi.
But, yeah, no, the only thing that I've heard about it being bullshit is that there's a bunch of like free to play stuff in it because it is a free to play game, and so like, you know, they give you the razor but they don't give you the blade, so that's one of those things. So if you're not down with that, you could very easily be turned off by that aspect of it. That said, I have not played it at all, so
it does. I mean, it does look kind of like a cool premise, though.
Yeah.
I mean.
No, I mean, just kind of like taking this thing that you think of as being really, really dynamic and, sorry, I'm losing my voice, this thing that you think of as being really, really, you know, kinetic and breaking it into like this turn-based strategy and looking at kind of the decisions that are behind all of that chaos that you would see is a really interesting, topic for a game or premise, right? Yeah.
I feel like I need a sentence with deconstruct in it.
What's that? I feel like I need a
for turn-based strategy. I feel like I need a sentence with deconstruct in it. No, this
something,
this looks
something,
cool.
Something deconstruct something 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 Zettergeist.
Oh man! So I'll go on with one. sorry, my throat's all messed up.
A glass
up.
Of water?
I've got one. So let us hear. Maybe I can take a sip from it. So a game that I've been interested in for a while has just gone into early access beta, Spy Party, which previously was like a really, really limited beta and alpha. That now it's in a situation where if you pay $15, you get your hands on the game in order to test it out and help them spot bugs and things like that. For $50, you just, you know, get the pleasure of having given them $50. It looks a lot different than I saw it. Brief overview of the premise. Like one person plays as a sniper who is looking into a party scene. And then the other person is one of a number of random party goers who is given a task or a series of tasks that they have to complete, with the idea being they need to blend in with the AI so that they do not, you know, single themselves out as being a player character, right?
It's like a reverse Turing test.
Yes, that is a very apt way to put it.
Almost seems like asymmetric, you know, Assassin's Creed type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed's already pretty asymmetric, yeah. Good.
Yeah, I think that's the last time we talked about it was when, I forget who, was playing Assassin's Creed multiplayer. And it's like Spy Party where everyone is playing both roles simultaneously. But I remember seeing this before when it was in Alpha, I don't know what to call it, and it's super intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the interesting part is, you know, this game has been around since like 2009. It's been in development since forever. I had no idea that the guy who like is designing it was one of the like lead designers on Spore, which is real interesting. But yeah, like it's gone through a bunch of iterations in the way that it looks and plays, but the premise has always kind of stayed the same. And it just, it's kind of been one of those things that has been really interesting, but because we have not been able to actually play it, I'm really, real curious. It's a little bit of a bummer that that it's Windows only. See?
Uh-huh. Consolation.
But,
yeah.
but who knows? There's another game that's real similar to this that I actually am interested in, but again, it's Windows only. It's called The Ship.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's been on Steam for a thing. It's kind of a. That's kind of like the old Assassin's game.
You know, yeah, yeah.
Gets a name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you're going after somebody, and somebody else is going after you, and you never know who's coming after you, and you know you have a good idea if you're going after. So it's a matter of evading the person who's after you, but also getting the person that you're after. Do I need to repeat that? Yeah.
I need a flowchart.
good thing, because if I go over here to the map board, we can pull it down. I don't know. But yeah, Spy Party.
Why is it called The Ship?
Because it takes place on a boat.
Yeah, on a cruise ship.
Yep.
Yeah. And that one pulls in some elements. You know, you're going for score. You know, it's iterative. So, and they'll give you, like, here's the preferred weapon. Here's how I want you to kill this person. So it could be like, you know, stab them with like a shish kebab skewer.
Yeah.
So you'd have to go around the ship and like go down to the dining room and get the shish kebab skewer. Wow. Really?
The shish kebab skewer.
But yeah.
Yeah. And if you're caught, like, you know, if people see you, you know, actively being violent out in the open, like the guards will come get you and stuff. So yeah, it's real interesting. I think when you buy it, you get like five copies of the game, to hand out to your friends.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah. So yeah, Spy Party open beta. Does anybody else have something before we move on?
Oh, I want one sec.
Okay.
I think my something that I now officially love this game from the FAQ. How come the spy can see the laser sight but no one else at the party can? Answer: the spy is wearing infrared sensitive contact lenses. Duh.
Duh.
I
question
now
mark.
Want this game.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see. I feel like it. You know, it'll be interesting to see how well the NPCs are designed, or whether, you know, eventually you'll learn their quirks and just kill off anyone that doesn't have these arbitrary quirks.
Well, since it's back and forth, it's all, you know, you can watch what those quirks are from the sniper scope when it's your turn to be the sniper, and then
true.
You can try and mimic those as you go along.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Yeah. Dennis, did your board game story count as one?
I guess, was that before we started the episode proper?
No, that was in the ET thing.
Yeah, that can. I mean, that's old news. That can count as mine.
No. If you have one that is more relevant and pressing, I just wanted to make sure I didn't move on without.
No, without it, I mean the interesting thing I saw was that. They've got, I mean, everything is teasers right now because E3, but Telltale has posted pictures of what people are assuming are the first couple of characters from the next Walking Dead episodic adventure game. So Bonnie and Vince, you can see they did little 6-second clips via Vine, which I know, Cole, you're a fan of.
I do like Vine.
Yeah. So look them up. I mean, it's just kind of sketch art drawings, but it's very much in the style of The Walking Dead. But the question that I'm going to plant in your mind, and then you're not going to be able to look at this without it bothering you, how are they hanging these pieces of paper on the wall without any kind of push pin or clip or anything like that?
I don't know.
So look it up and you'll know what I'm talking about.
It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's more Walking Dead coming, which good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But,
that needs to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, wouldn't more Walking Dead coming
Wait,
be
so you
a
guys
bad
like
thing?
The Walking Dead?
It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Speaking of stuff that we're likely going to see, I really do think people would be disappointed if I didn't bring it up and say something about it. Over this past week, there was a billboard that went up on the side of a building in L.A. That says that Dark Souls 2 is coming out on in May of 2014. What that is, so I'm disappointed because I thought it was going to be in the fall. we don't know if that means it's going to be on current gen systems or if it's going to move to next gen systems.
So Cole will be buying a next gen system if he wants to play Dark Souls 2.
Yeah.
It's sounding like.
Yeah, I'm. You know, that's enough of a seller for me, right?
Yeah. So how many weeks does that give you to power through the rest of Dark Souls and Demon Souls?
We have more than enough time.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We actually have to find a way to fill time. So.
Was it Kingsfield? Is the other one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. We're referencing, of course, Bonfire Side Chat. Check it out. If that announcement that Cole just made has any relevance to you.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next segment, fellas.
Agreed.
He said naturally.
The grind.
Now it's time for the grind, where we talk about the games that we play in this world that just doesn't end. does anybody want to volunteer to go first?
I can volunteer.
Good.
I've played absolutely nothing.
What?
Oh.
No, I've played more XCOM, but I've lectured on XCOM, you know, enough. Mm-hmm. I think I told you guys I'm doing a run on Impossible, and then I'm doing a run using only one character, and that's been a lot of fun. So that's been the majority of my time. I tried one new game for about 10 minutes.
Which game
is called?
That?
It's called Malicious, and it was a freebie through PlayStation Plus, and it is not very good.
Hence the free.
Yeah, hence. But no, like there's so many. Saints Row the Third just went free on PlayStation Plus. So
they
usually give you some pretty. And The Cave was free. So they usually give you some pretty stellar games. But this one, the concept is good. It's like a Shadow of the Colossus kind of thing where it's all boss fights. And you kind of have to dodge the boss and kill off his weaker minions to build up your power. And then you kind of go into overdrive where you can actually do damage to the boss, and then attack them, you know, and so you're on the offensive and then you go back to the dodging slash killing the minions. And it's kind of this trade back and forth between those two, modes, until you defeat the boss,
mm-hmm.
Which in theory, you know, that can be a lot of fun and, you know, no reason that it couldn't work. It's just, the graphics look like they're out of PS1, which,
really?
Yeah, which I mean, you know, I will never begrudge a game for not like being high fidelity enough, because I think there's a movement towards having more stylized visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Read The Walking Dead, but this one it's not a visual style choice; it's a just poor design choice.
Yeah, poor technical graphics as opposed to like low fidelity.
Right. And then the other sticking piece is the camera lock-on is absolutely horrible. They've got a really, you know, because there's a lot of minions on the screen at any time. So that's, they actually have a clever thing where you tap once to lock onto a minion and double tap to lock onto the boss, which makes a ton of sense. But then just the camera somehow is still always pointed in the wrong direction.
Right.
And
no.
I don't know how to do it because locking on to the right thing works just fine. but actually the camera following that lock on doesn't work just fine. So the camera,
I'm looking at a video of it right now. It looks like the camera in Sacrifice for PC, that's the only thing that I can say about it. This is atrocious, Dennis.
Yeah.
This looks like the worst brawler. Like it looks like somebody took the worst parts of like Dynasty Warriors and mixed it with the worst parts of any Japanese game. Yeah. Like the movement just looks gross. Like,
yeah, they were too lazy to animate this guy running around, so they just kind of made him float.
Yeah, yeah.
For no good reason.
And like the movement would remind you of like Zone of the Enders, except without the good things about Zone of the Enders.
I
want to play Zone of the Enders.
Actually, with the camera perpetually pointed into a wall. So yeah, go play Zone of the Enders instead.
Yeah, there's that HD remake too. Actually,
that's a good
game. There?
Yeah. Huh. Yep, I bought that. I bought it for the Metal Gear Solid 2 demo, and then I played it because I really liked the game.
So I've heard good things about it. I've had a couple different people recommend it to me. The one other thing that makes Malicious worth mentioning is the fact that it's got backstory to the Nines. And usually, you know, I'm a fool for game manuals that are, you know, heavier than the game case itself. Mm-hmm. That's something I enjoy, and I think I'm kind of sad that doesn't happen anymore. And it's a downloadable game, so you don't actually get a piece of paper, but there was this, you know, there was an entire section saying, here's the backstory. And the backstory is actually like a chapter book complete with like illustrations and the functionality to bookmark it to come back to later.
Come on.
No, literally there you can press square to bookmark the page you're on. So you can go away and come back and continue reading this backstory.
They actually package a Kindle with the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How self-indulgent can you be as a game? When right. What you're doing is like make me care. I'm the same way. Like I'm a person who will stop to read any text that is put in front of me.
Yeah.
But like there has to be some level of care about the world. Like, and they obviously didn't care. I don't know.
It felt like someone who wanted to write a book and just happened to make a video game that goes along with it.
Yeah.
You know, like the video game seemed like an afterthought to this, and I skimmed it hardcore, but it's a very lovingly crafted backstory, and the concept behind it is kind of cool.
In itself, is fine.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I don't know.
Seeing what it's attached to, this is Japan. It'll sound like I'm nationalist or racist, but I don't know. This is Japan to the Nines, honestly. Just like the whole ethic of this.
Yeah.
To the nine rooms, nine.
Not even that. Like that has a really kind of like Western aesthetic to it, right? Like as a, you know, like, yeah, it is, a, you know, a visual novel, but it's not, you know, crazy fantasy armor and stuff. It has like crazy paranormal supernatural hyper scientific elements to it, or you know, science fiction elements to it, but I'm not, you know, watching somebody put on a mask and then have like flaming runes surround them as they pull out a flame sword and I fight them, which I'm doing right now
as we are talking.
In the game.
Watching.
He's actually doing it.
Oh, cool. I just thought you should have corrected me when I said I haven't been playing anything, because there's one other game that I have been playing.
Yeah, I was gonna you know, put it until later. I wanted to hear more about Malicious.
Yeah, no.
Is that a Gatling gun drill? Okay, I need to shut this thing off. Okay.
Yeah.
Gatling gun with a fucking drill at the end of it, which would do one thing, either be a really shitty drill or be a Gatling gun that shot the drill off of the end of it. Ugh. Sorry.
I'm glad that we can derive some you know, element of enjoyment out of this crappy game.
So angry. What have we been playing, Dennis?
We have been playing Super Stickman Golf 2, which is amazing.
It is so good, right?
So good. Addictive. And now that I'm doing... So, you know, I've gone through a good portion of the single player where, you know, if you mess up, you can kind of start over. And I've just started doing competitive matches with Cole where there's... a whole new level of intensity.
Of stress around it.
Yeah, there's no going back.
Right.
But it's this great kind of, you know, you get power-ups in the game that let you redo a shot or give your ball special powers that can be very useful. And there's this great balance when you're doing a competitive match of, all right, I messed up that shot. Is it worth me using this power-up here where, you know, I know I can get a stroke back, but I'm using that power-up and potentially wasting it for when I'll need it later in the game. So it's kind of, you kind of have to ration your special moves throughout.
Yeah, more so than if you were just playing by yourself, because like you said, you wouldn't be able to, you know, restart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the goal is always, you know, end with no special moves left.
Right.
So you've maximized, unless you're just a baller and you make all your shots in the first try, and then you don't need to use any special moves. But yeah. I'm very clearly not that. So
yeah. And you know, like there are times where the different hats that you might pick can have an effect. So like you're using one that gives you an extra power up. Mm-hmm. And again, speaking of that power up rationing kind of thing. Whereas in the match that we're playing right now, we're in Magnet Land, but I'm wearing the chef's hat, which makes mm-hmm. magnets not work on me. Which kind of had
a negative effect on you on one of the holes.
Yeah, but it pays off later. Don't worry.
See, I'm screwed. <on
there>. Yeah. You say that?
No, but just like, but yeah, there is a lot of give and take. There's, you know, there's some push and pull, but you mm-hmm. know, but are like behind those decisions, and it's just neat to have that asynchronous multiplayer thing. Like
yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, like I haven't had that since Draw Something, which just shut down yesterday, I think, which is really sad.
Really?
The studio behind it shut down. I'm not sure how long it's going to be supported. I can't talk about much more than anything, but yeah.
Yeah, I haven't touched Draw Something in months, so.
neither have I, but like for that time when I was playing it, it was really fun.
Yeah.
But Stickman, Super Stickman Golf, it's really, really fun. Like I even like gave them money to get their bucks just to play in the hat lottery because I wanted them to have some of my money.
Yeah. It's a quality game.
Yeah. It's really, really good. Yeah. And that kind of, are you done?
Yeah, that's for me having nothing. I actually had three things. None of them really worth talking about, but hey,
yeah.
I'm here, so I might as well. But that kind of segues over to you pretty well, Cole.
Yeah, it does. So I've been playing that. Other things, over this past weekend, I played a point-and-click adventure game on the iPad. I believe it's also on iPhone. I'm not sure what else it's on. it's called The Silent Age. It's a point-and-click adventure game. It takes place in 1972, but you get a time machine that lets you warp to the same day 40 years in the future, if that makes any sense. The idea is that you're walking around solving these puzzles that, you know, the key component to solving them is to, you know, if you can't find the way forward where you're at, you press the button to switch. And so in modern day, you are this janitor who works at this, you know, like high security, high clearance company. You're a janitor with a rockin' mustache and like a really kind of dopey attitude. It's real serious. I'm making it sound like a comedy. It's an adventure game, so it has some funny writing, but it plays itself as pretty serious. And then when you're down cleaning one of the labs, you find somebody who's dying with his like dying wish. He gives you this little time machine that's powered by sunlight, and then the police take you into custody. And he tells you, you need to find me in the present day and tell me not to come back to the present day. And tell me not to come back to the present day from the future. There we go. And so as you're going around, and this isn't anything new, right? Think Day of the Tentacle had a lot of that where, you know, like on like one of the puzzles is, oh, there's poison ivy covering like the entire side of a building in the future. And in the present, you need to, you know, pour something onto the plant to kill it so that it won't make your life hell later, et cetera, et cetera. You see different versions of the rooms. So there is like an element of like compare. Comparison, like, okay, like if you're stuck, you can get a lot of traction just by looking at, okay, so what's different in the future as opposed to now? And so it's kind of like, huh, there's a door here, but it's wallpapered over here. What did they? Oh yeah, they just kind of wallpapered over it. So you pull open the door and then like, oh, there it goes. Or this room is dark, but I know where the light switch is from the future version, etc. So there, I just spoiled a couple of puzzles there, but you'll forget when you go to play them. other than that, it's kind of a bog standard adventure game almost. It has kind of like a neat sci-fi kind of feel to it. It feels vaguely like a Kurt Vonnegut novel, like with the weird time stuff and with the era that it takes place in and the crazy mustache guy.
Point four.
Point four. It's part one. It's like, yeah, it's the silent age, part one. And then, you know, they're trying to fund part two right now. So when you at any time you can go and say like, hey, you know, you kick this and they're like halfway funded on it. I think the game was free because they're just trying to fund part two right now. So at the end you can just be like, okay, I'll pay you this. I'm like, yeah, I want you to have money because I played your game. It looks real neat. The animation is no great shakes. Like his walk cycle is fine. But limited kind of animation. It's more just to play with the time mechanic than anything. But even then, like Time Gentleman Please on the PC did that a lot better too.
Yeah, I like it when a game, and this is really a something that you really only see indie games doing, but just kind of pick one mechanic and say, hey, this is what I'm going to be about, and I'm going to do it really, really well. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to try to get distracted by a lot of other stuff.
Yeah. There are some bullshit puzzles in it too, so it doesn't even do that particularly well. Like, and you know, it's bullshit on the level of like, okay, so this is obviously an adventure game, like an adventure game that is taking cues from things of a certain vintage. So it's like at one point there is a bottle of turpentine on the ground, and instead of just like going to grab it, your guy says, oh, no, the police would catch me grabbing this thing because there's a policeman right there, but you're out of view. If he doesn't see you, it's like to him, it would just be a random guy picking up a bottle of turpentine. But no, you have to go and get a syringe so you can put some of the turpentine in the syringe and then squirt that on some wood in order to make it burn.
Yeah, because after all, why in the hell would a janitor ever have a cleaning product like turpentine?
At that point, he was on the run from the law. Although it was wearing the rock and jumpsuit.
Maybe if I get a syringe, it'll make me seem less threatening.
Yeah. So, in a game that is full of otherwise kind of like, huh, neat moments, that's just kind of, oh, man, why would you do that? But it's a fairly sizable length. I'd say it's about like an hour and 20 minutes or something like that. It's like five parts. It's good. I'd recommend it. You know, they're obviously trying to do something neat, and there's a bigger story behind it.
Nice.
In a similar vein, I haven't played enough of it to speak to it, but this is a pseudo brief kind of thing. But Kentucky Route Zero, episode number two, came out last week.
And, oh yeah, I saw that.
I've played like the first 20 minutes of it. It is so beautiful, you guys. It is so freaking good. Like for real. Yeah.
Sweet.
You guys remember me talking about that like when the first one
came out. Yeah. It looks like you said, it looks really cool. It looks like a really fun game, actually.
Yeah. I mean, fun is probably not the right word. Contemplative and surreal, yes.
Well,
Those things can be fun.
Yeah. I like the 2D, just the way it does it.
So. Yeah. Like visually, it's really, really cool. They're doing some, and there's some like neat perspective tricks in it too. Oh man, I need to go back and play episode one. Yeah.
I believe it's on sale now, actually.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Question for you. As you think about episode one, episode two, are there decisions that you make in episode one that then affect episode two?
Not that I've seen, no. Like, but does it really need to make a decision, make a difference?
No, otherwise, why call them episodes?
Well, I mean,
like, I guess they're in the same universe, or
yeah, you follow the same characters through it, but
okay,
yeah,
fair.
And a lot of your choices are just kind of like, what attitude do you want to affect? But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also played more Word Realms. I really, really like that game. If it wasn't abundantly clear last time, check it out.
Yeah. I didn't know.
It's so good. Yeah. And then let's see here. Ben, how about you?
Well, like Dennis, who said he had nothing that he's played, that's me, but I'm for real. I don't have anything that I played. I was only home one night this last week. Mm.
So. How was San Francisco?
It was lovely. It was a lot colder than Las Vegas.
So, I would imagine.
And by colder, I mean normal temperature.
Yes, so. human temperatures.
Yeah, yeah. I felt moisture. It was great. Yeah,
wearing a light jacket in 80-degree weather.
Yeah, pretty much, man. It was only 70, but I was. It was cold for me. So yeah, but I haven't played anything. Mass Effect's staring at me still. So.
You can turn the box away.
No. I'll probably play some of that tonight after the podcast.
Neat.
So.
Cool. How about you, David?
Honestly, I've not been playing a whole
what
lot.
What is up with us?
Hey, I'm trying to get ready, you know. Yeah. I'm trying to organize a new house when I live like several states away, which turns out to be complicated.
It's not cool. It's not you. It's just weird that I'm the one who played a game.
This is a podcast for people who love video games, not a podcast for people who play video games.
Okay.
There we go.
Who can appreciate the concept? Point take.
Well, I have gotten in some Guild Wars 2. I rolled a engineer class for it. Mm-hmm. Which is basically if you compress like all of the Team Fortress 2 characters down to one class, that's more or less what you get.
The engineer?
Yeah. The engineer in Guild Wars.
Okay.
So like you've got like turrets, rocket jumping, a flamethrower that can like shoot out compressed gas, a cloaking device. You basically have like the powers of every character from that. It's real weird, but it's kind of the joke character for the game.
Okay.
So, you know, the aforementioned like rocket jumps and
like
acid squirting flowers and stuff.
Like a clown funny?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, so far it's a lot of fun. It's kind of an interesting change of pace. The only downside I can see to it is unlike most of the classes, which have, say, like 5 or 6 different weapons you can choose from, this one you only get like 2.5 weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to offset that, several of your abilities are basically tool belts that replace one of your weapons with like a new weapon when you activate it.
Okay.
The only problem with that is if you're in a build that doesn't use tool belts, you then just end up with really boring weapons.
Oh, so it's possible to really mess yourself up that way.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like gameplay-wise, like it's bad. But, for example, if you're a build that revolves around turrets, you won't necessarily, you know, your toolbar or your skills will be used for turrets, not tool belts, so... Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, it seems good. It's fun.
Hmm.
I killed a lot of dudes.
Well, as you do. Neat.
I did want to actually, have you seen the game The Swapper on Steam L?
No.
I was actually going to recommend as a game you might want to look at. It's apparently, I guess this is kind of a pseudo brief, but... Apparently, it's a puzzle game, kind of puzzle 2D platformer, where their kind of their unique element is you can create up to 4 clones of yourself that mimic your movements, and then you can switch places with any of them at any time.
Okay, so it's like that one level in Braid over and over again.
I have no idea.
Ah.
But
times 2.
But and apparently it's got like a really interesting storyline. You know, I guess it kind of revolves around the idea of, you know, you're creating all these clones of yourself and switching your soul between them. So, you know, deals with the ideas of, you know, what defines you know, where does a person's identity reside, you know, do souls exist, etc.
Right. So it's so it's them like thinking, hey, we have this, like, what are the implications of this? Of the,
right,
of this,
exactly. So it just sounds like a interesting puzzler indie game.
Hmm. No, it looks pretty neat. It's got kind of a I'm a little bit turned off by the military aesthetic of it.
Yeah, I think it's, though, it's just what I'm thinking of. The graphics are actually, like, claymation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, or, well, I mean, not necessarily explicitly clay, but they're actually, you know, they're actually things.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you can't tell that, you can't tell that from the Steam video.
Yeah, when I looked at it, I mean, you can a little bit, though, you can a little bit get the aesthetics, especially after, you know, when you're looking for it. Like, it's got a weird look.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Oh. So is that everything?
Yeah, that's what I've got.
Okay.
Short episode.
That is fine. They can't all be 2-hour long monstrosities.
Sometimes they have to be 1-hour long monstrosities.
Multiplayer.
Time for multiplayer, where we ask you, the listeners, things, and then you say things back to us. And this week's question is, what are you looking forward to at E3? Which is next week, here in a couple of days as you're listening to this. It's fun because Monday is WWDC, so we'll find out about the new laptops. And then Tuesday through the rest of the week, going to find out about all of the, you know, the new games. So exciting week. Yeah. But there's a lot of stuff that people are expecting, a lot of stuff that people would like to see more of. And we're going to get the obvious one out of the way since about 7 people said it. Brian Russell Wade says, let's get the obvious one out of the way. Good man. Dark Souls 2, Dark Souls 2, Dark Souls 2. And then Joseph Ellis says, yep, as Brian said, Dark Souls 2.
Yes, yeah, aforementioned poster.
I'm not that excited about Dark Souls 2. In that, before you tar and feather me, in that I feel like it's a game that fundamentally what makes it awesome is me getting killed by things I didn't know. Therefore, by definition, anything they tell me is not what I care about in the game. Does that make sense, though?
Oh, wait a minute. So you can't. Yeah. So you don't want to get excited until you can play it? Like, you're not excited that it is a thing that is going to happen to you?
Well, I'm excited that it's a thing that's going to happen, but I'm just saying, like, any information I get from the trailer, what makes it interesting is what I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, like, seeing,
like, the actual information itself doesn't interest me.
In an ideal world, what they would do is be like, hey, here is a, you know, dummy area or a demo area that we have this set, you know, that we have this stuff set out in, so we can show you the mechanical things that are really interesting about this. You know, the idea that light's going to play a factor, that there's that dual wielding is going to be more of a thing, the various weapons and stuff. But like that, like, I'm not too cool with them showing me actual, you know, levels and sequences and bosses and stuff, because I would like to remain unspoiled. You know, like, but I can't see myself having the willpower to go on media blackout about it.
Right. Grant, yeah. Like, obviously, I'm pumped that it's happening. One thing I am kind of interested in, though, is the fact that apparently it's not going to happen in the same world.
It's not going to happen on the same continent.
Oh, is that? See, I had initially heard it wasn't like same world, same thing. But, so it is the same
painted world. No, references.
Let's not go in. I think that like it was just an artist who thought that those things were cool. it doesn't take place in Lordran. They said if Dark Souls 1 takes place at the North Pole, imagine this one taking place at the South Pole.
Yeah.
So, Ben, what does Nick say?
Nick says, I'd be ecstatic if they announced a new Fallout, and being a Nintendo fan, I'm excited to see what they show in their Nintendo Direct. By the way, what is Nintendo Direct?
It's their own, like, off-site thing.
All right. Yeah. I also live near one of the locations for their demo setups, so I plan on checking it out next Wednesday, too.
I didn't know they were doing that.
So Nick, write in if you see anything particularly cool, and let us know. We'll talk about it.
Yes, please do. We would appreciate.
Yeah, a new Fallout would really make my day.
Who said that? Sorry, I'm sorry. I didn't see that right there. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that actually has been preemptively debunked. I could be wrong, really? And I'd be very, very happy to be wrong. However, that is what I am led to believe.
They make a Fallout MMO?
Yeah, but that was caught up in legal hell. It wasn't Bethesda making it. It was Interplay. But then the license got sold. They are making the Elder Scrolls Online, which might be taking up a bunch of their time.
That seems a little... I don't know.
Yep. Let's see here, David. What does Jala say?
Jala says, the Thief reboot. I'm curious about it.
Me too.
I'd say Metal Gear Solid 5, but no David... is that Hatter?
Hater. David Hater.
Hater?
The voice
no David
of Solid
Hater? State. Konami! Or I'd say that's actually what it says.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I'd say Batman Arkham Origins as a Bat fan, but not developed by Rocksteady. I'm a little leery.
Yeah.
Just to point out, I say that every morning to Jella, but for different reasons.
I'm a little leery.
I didn't realize Thief was getting a reboot. That's actually kind of exciting.
Yeah. I think it's technically Thief 4. I don't know that it's a reboot.
Yeah. I feel like that's a game where a lot of the next-gen stuff and advances and game control and stuff like that could not just be, hey, let's make it look better, but let's actually make the game better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of being able to do...
Yeah,
exactly.
So the fourth game I think is being developed by let me see here, the guys who did Human Revolution.
Nice.
Handled by a team other than the one that made Human Revolution, but it is developed at the same studio.
Montreal.
Yep.
Human Revolution also free now through PlayStation Plus. I'm a walking billboard. Everything is free.
I think people can look at what's going to be like what's coming out on PlayStation Plus and guess what you're going to be playing that week.
it's probably surprising to you. Although during listening to the Deus Ex episode of Watch Out for Fireballs, I have to say I'm more excited. What's that?
For Fireballs. You just said that weird.
Watch out for fireballs. My appetite has been wet to try that universe.
Yeah, it's real good. I would recommend trying Human Revolution first and then going back. The original one might be a little bit impenetrable, although you might have the patience for it.
I don't know. I actually like the. I think the first one was overall the better story, better game though.
Yeah, first one's great. I have no reservations about. Recommending that to anybody.
InfoWars the game.
That was the basis for the sketch at the beginning of the episode, actually.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Conspiracy theory radio. Let us see here. Ben, what does... Who hasn't gone yet? You haven't. Dennis, what does Nick go on to say?
Yeah, Nick checks back in. Don't call it a comeback. he says, oh yeah, and I really hope there's some new info about Beyond Good and Evil 2. Lots of people have been talking about female protagonists in games lately. Agree, there's some really interesting stuff out there that we didn't really talk about this episode, but tropes against women in games, really interesting stuff.
Anyway, we talked about the first one, and controversy.
But, you know... Nick says that's got him reminded of Jade, who I assume is a character from Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah, she's the main protagonist. She's often held up as like being the strong female game protagonist, in that it is somehow remarkable that she isn't overly sexualized. we should be proud that happens in 2003.
Yeah,
But
another news: I didn't murder anyone today, guys.
Oh, fantastic. One day at a time, Dennis.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's funny because we were talking about Beyond Good and Evil 2 at work today, of all places. We're a relative, you know, there are some people who play games, but like, they're like saying, man, I really wonder what, you know, what happened to Beyond Good and Evil 2. And I ran down the entire explanation. Well, you see Michel Ancel, they want him to make more Rayman games because those sell more and blah, blah, blah.
I just imagine that Cole appears like some sort of imp or genie wherever game conversations are going on.
You know what? It's funny because, like, kind of, I'm a little bit ashamed of it. Well, you should actually come visit the office sometime. We'd be happy to have you, like for lunch or something. We have lunch like catered in. If you want to like come around, take a look. But we have like an open office, right? Like our relatively open office. So I'm sitting there in what is effectively the same room as most of the other people, and so like it's really really easy to overhear conversations if you don't have your earphones in. And when somebody says something, it's just kind of like, you know, I'm kind of at a break. I'd like to go socialize. You walk over and say, hey, what's up? I think I heard XYZ. And then you like, at least I do because I'm a fucking creeper, but it's just kind of like, so like I happen to just be walking through on the way to get coffee when the conversation came up, but I do kind of just appear when somebody mentions video games. Yeah. Or podcasts or, you know, Mac software or stuff like that.
Sure. Sure.
Because
sure
I'm enough. Just desperate for human contact. Yeah. Let's see here. Geo Law says, I'm looking forward to the week after E3 to be told what is and what isn't worth looking forward to by all my favorite podcasters. We can do that, Geo Law.
Yeah.
We can do that for you.
A wise man.
Yeah, no, he knows who to trust. Us.
I assumed he was talking about other podcasters.
But... yeah.
Oh, Ben, don't have such low self-esteem.
Yeah. We can matter too. We just choose not to. And then finally, David, what does Daniel say?
Daniel is mostly looking forward to watching the various press conferences live. One of our crew will be at E3 while the rest of us will watch the events on a projector in the theater back home. I don't know. Do you know who his crew is or what the backstory to this is?
I assume he's either in the industry or in press.
Okay, that's, yeah, I remember, it's been a while, but I remember, you know, loving to watch some of the PlayStation press conferences. Just some of them are just very entertaining.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, almost like, I hate watching NASCAR, but I've been to a couple of races and they're fun to be at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, even if the information isn't interesting, seeing them live and seeing the theatrics and stuff is a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I used to, I used to go out of my way to like download them and watch them. However, it just like something broke and it was like, I'd rather just watch the, like read the recaps or watch the snippets. I remember, like 2005 when I was working at GameStop, I think it was Babbage's then. I forget when they switched over. They actually sold, I don't know who they is, but there was a DVD that was out that was that like that year's E3 press conferences and stuff. And like,
oh,
and
wow.
like show tours. And we would have that in the PlayStation 2 at the front of the store, running on like a, you know, continuous loop, like with videos of like, you know, the reveal of Halo 2 or whatever. I think it was like the 2004 one because Halo 2 featured prominently. But yeah, like I remember watching that and being like super excited, but then around the 30th or 40th time, it was kind of like, oh, I see exactly what they're doing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can only get excited about the groundbreaking reveal so many times.
Yeah.
When it is the same groundbreaking reveal.
I think that I'm – okay, so yeah, that is watching the same one over and over again. I've got to say, like, I kind of am on the same line as what's his name, who said that he was, like, curious to hear what other podcasters say.
Oh, yeah, Jeffrey.
Yeah, Jeffrey. Like, it's just kind of like, yeah, that's generally where I get my analysis from. In line with one of our conversations earlier, you know,
I have this morbid fascination with the live conferences, and I will watch as many of them possible, just as a student of like, you know, public speaking and, you know, kind of working a crowd and stuff like that. Like that sort of thing fascinates me.
And marketing.
Well, in marketing, I was trying to avoid that one, but yeah. But no, just the idea of, you know, how someone engages with the crowd or works the crowd, especially on a topic like this, where, you know, they've got all this really cool information. And I get, maybe the way to say it is this: they've got all this cool information, and it's amazing to me how they can still screw it up.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, you're interested because you want to find out how they can fail at it, right?
Like, right, or see like how they succeed. So like it's just really interesting to me to watch like what works and what doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find that stuff interesting. I don't do like live event marketing. You know, I might at some point, but like just that overall, as someone who used to do a lot of public speaking, mm-hmm. interests me. So
yeah,
I've never been able to understand why they demo features that don't always work.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Or why they don't just entirely manufacture it out of whole cloth.
Right. Or like, this obviously isn't directly related, but yeah, you know, I went to look at new cell phones recently, and the guy was showing me, you know, the new Android phone where like it tracks your eyes to scroll, scroll down the page. And, like, it doesn't work very well. Like, you know, it's a new technology. It's something they're doing experimental. You know, that's fine that doesn't work real well. The other features work fine. But why would that be the thing you show customers?
Because, holy shit, it knows where you're looking.
Except that, you know, it...
It doesn't, you know, but holy shit, yeah, it knows where you're looking.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it. Like, that's why they do, you know, the Kinect things where, you know, fails spectacularly.
Yeah. Like when they tried to demo Kinect, Star Wars Kinect, and it just didn't fucking work. Or with Wii Music when they had that drummer guy, I believe his name was Ravi Drums, get up there and just, like, wail on the drums, like, really shittily with the Wii remote. Yeah, there's like a whole, you know, they're top 10 list out the ass of mortifying E3 press conference moments.
But it does seem to be added this year.
There does seem to be like a weird disconnect between the people marketing video games and the people who actually play video games.
Oh,
you know?
Always.
Yeah.
But I mean, so all of this aside, like as we kind of go into our own answers, which I, you know, mine's going to be brief. Like this is going to be a more exciting E3 than a lot of the other ones, because a lot of the recent E3s have either been like way too software focused. Like, okay, here's the new Gears of War. Hey, here's the new God of War. Here's the new, you know, Gears of God. Here's the new God of Gears. or it's been like entirely focused on stuff that doesn't really apply to us. Like here is everything and anything and everything you can do with the Kinect. Or like here is the Wii Vitality sensor, you know, and you know this one, it gets back to, you know, at least, you know, I think that we're going to see stuff that will either surprise us or just be things to get us a little bit more excited about, you know, systems that might have failed to impress us, you know. All three of them, really.
Yeah. But it's like it's a new console generation that only comes around once every 8 years.
Once
or
every 10 years.
Yeah. So like that's freaking awesome.
Yeah. So
I don't know what's wrong with you guys. Intel does a new generation every year.
Well, but we've had this conversation, David.
Just throwing it out there.
I'm so excited about the Haswell processors. I'm going to buy the fuck out of a new laptop once they're announced. So yeah, kind of along those lines, you know, I'm excited for the stuff that we're not expecting, right? I'm excited for... does that make any sense?
Like, that's just funny, yeah.
I mean...
How can you be any less mainstream?
I don't know, but it's like... I don't want to see a new Halo. I don't want Halo. That's such a shitty example. But it's like I'm excited to see if there's like new stuff or, you know, stuff that they're bringing up. Like Jala had it right. The new Thief. Like I want to see more of that. Right. I want to see more stuff that is along those lines.
See, but even that's not new IP. I think.
Well, either new IP, like I said, new IP or stuff being done with other.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I kind of feel similarly. I would almost say I'm not excited just because I feel like right now I mostly play, you know, indie games that probably aren't going to be featured there that much.
I think indie scene's kind of picking up at E3 though a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it will be there, but or I would almost say like the AAA games that, you know, end up happening to be interesting, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, I'm not sure that I could have predicted, you know, at E3 that Mass Effect would be as awesome as it ended up being.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about you guys? Like, do you have anything that's on your that's on your watch list, Ben?
I'm excited for Half-Life 3.
Oh, snap, son.
Also the Last
just
Guardian.
Just gotta believe, guys.
You just gotta believe.
Just gotta believe. This year. This year's the year, guys.
No, hope springs eternal.
Yeah. I'm probably more excited about hopefully Rocksteady will announce their next project.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably something that's more reasonable.
Yeah. David?
It really, I'm not that excited. I mean, to a certain degree, you know, like I said, I tend more towards PC and, you know, indie, which are a little less, you know, the focus.
Right.
One thing I am kind of interested to see is if both the PlayStation and the Y-Box, if either of them, how they modify their pitch based on the responses to their releases.
Yeah. If they're actually going to try and do some damage control.
Well, yeah. Or for example, you know, if Sony will come out and like, oh, we're absolutely, you know, not going to make you, you know, register your games, or, you know, if they'll double down on that, or just, you know, kind of the interplay between the two.
Right,
I think
right.
Would be interesting.
Yeah.
Like, who wants to be the messenger?
PlayStation, forget your PlayStation. The Saturn's coming out right now. See what I did there? Because that was 20 years ago. not 20, more like 18. Oh, God. yeah. So that is Dennis. I still haven't heard from you.
That's the second time, the second segment. You've almost, I must be unusually quiet tonight.
That's fine.
Or too verbal. One of the two. Anyway, mine, funny enough, is the South Park game.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of other stuff to look forward to. But when I first heard about it, I'm a big fan of humorous games.
Mm-hmm.
And there just aren't nearly enough of those out there. And I have not, you know, I've watched South Park every now and again and enjoy it when I watch it. I can't claim to like know it incredibly well, but it just seems like this is going to translate to game really well. And I think the creators, crap, what are their names of South Park?
Trey
Parker and Matt Stone.
Yeah, they are, you know, they have a history with games. They're gamers themselves. We just talked about the difference between those marketing games and making games and those who play games.
Right.
Being so wide, but it, you know, from what I've read and interviews these guys have given, they really get it and they really have a clear vision for what they want to do translating South Park into a game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have high hopes for that being a really fun RPG to play and a really funny RPG to play. So fingers crossed. I don't think that's going to be a showstopper or anything, but that's,
I think that kind of falls in with what I said about, you know, the unexpected stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that game almost didn't exist.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It is alive and well, and I'm glad, because we need more funny games.
Yeah. Cool. So you'll hear back with us from the E3 report live from the internet, and also 4 days later next week. but until then, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We really appreciate it. If you would like to keep an eye on that, most of the action happens on Facebook. That is facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. If you're not the Facebook and type, you can watch the Twitter where on the @DuckFeedTV line. I am tooting out the question on Tuesdays as well. You guys are turning out in force again. Yeah. Sorry, I'm distracted. Merlin Mann just posted on his Tumblr a Chrome extension that replaces all instances of the cloud with my butt, which would really help some of my script writing, actually.
And where are you going to store all your music?
In my butt.
The end boss.
So, guys, end bosses, what up? What can we stew on?
Hmm. Well, I think I said this before the show, but maybe I said this at the beginning of the show. Finished up Arrested Development, so
Oh yeah,
I was happy about that. I joined the ranks of Cole.
ranks of, I assume that at least one person besides us has seen through all of it.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, do you have any? I mean, without spoiling anything, do you have any impressions on it?
They all die. No,
that would be an impression.
No, yeah, I enjoyed it. I know a lot of the common consensus was everyone has said that I didn't like the first few episodes because it was really depressing. And it's like well,
that's the point.
Yeah.
How did their lives fall apart?
Yeah. I like how one of the titles of the episodes is It Gets Better, because yeah. I feel like they might have predicted that sort of response.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to go back and watch it again, because obviously there's going to be stuff that you missed the first time. But mm-hmm. But yeah. Cool. In a similar non-game note, let's see here. The new Queens of the Stone Age album came out today. .. like clockwork. And it's really, really good. As expected.
Who's the drummer in the band currently?
Currently, like their touring drummer, like the one who's with them, or the one who played on the album?
The one who played on the album.
Oh, Dave Grohl.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, no, Dave Grohl, and then Nick Oliveri came back to play the bass after spending 11 years beating his girlfriend, allegedly. Sorry, I don't like him that much. The bass works fine, but him. Him as a person, but they also got Trent Reznor and Elton John on there as well. So.
Hey,
yeah,
dude, they got some cool man.
They do. I mean, they're big names. I mean, they switch labels. They're on Matador now. Yeah, it's really good. I put up on Twitter something that like this big medley of videos that they put together. It's like one long continuous story in this like comic book, really crazy, gory, vulgar style. Yeah, but it's them it's like a much more polished Lullabies to Paralyze, and that it is it's as weird as fuck, and it's really psychedelic and trippy. Yeah, so it's good. I would recommend if you like rock music, it is definitely rock music, and it's one of the better albums I've heard here in the past like year or so. Like, it's the first album I've bought that I really liked, aside from like Mountain Goats, Transcendental Youth. So
nice.
Yeah. How about you, Dennis?
So I just found that Thomas Was Alone, that amazing little indie game,
yeah,
now has like a fan comic.
Huh.
That is not at all sexual yet. So it's just like all the little, you know, part of the personality of the game is that these little rectangles have so much personality. And there's someone doing like actually sketched them as what they would look like as characters, and are taking like questions and answering in character. Mm-hmm. So Tom Bithell, the guy who made Thomas Was Alone, actually tweeted about it, and he seems to be in full support. I'll shoot you a link to it, but it's kind of cool, and we'll see how it develops.
Is it in the same style, or are they like personifications?
No, it's like personified, just like a weird, you know, Sunday morning comic style.
Huh.
Yeah. So I'm sure there are people out there who would think it's an abomination and how dare you do that, but it's stumbling upon it seems kind of cool.
Oh, neat. How about you, David? Blah. There I am.
Having a little difficulty there.
A little bit. It didn't come out as
smooth. You gotta stop taking shrooms before we record, dude.
Bah, wah, 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 wah. No, that would be taken like doing whippets. Would be the bah, wah, 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 wah.
Racing dogs?
No. I mean, turning a can of aerosol upside down and huffing it.
Okay. Wow. How can I come back after that?
Oh, no.
No, honestly, I've just been kind of preoccupied lately with trying to move, get ready to move into the new house. My ended up finally telling my work that I'll be escaping in. that'll be going at the end of the summer. So that's kind of been what I've been running around doing.
Yeah, you're coming back to Cincinnati,
right? Woo-hoo. Exactly. It's really kind of weird to me that you know, I didn't grow up in Cincinnati. I grew up in Northern Ohio, but went to you know, college in Cincinnati. But I really kind of consider Cincinnati to be my hometown when, you know, people ask stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we both have certainly lived here long enough.
Well, and it's sort of like, you know, it's not so much necessarily where I was born, but it's the first place I chose to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, people ask me where I'm from. I say Mansfield. They ask me, you know, like, I don't know. It's weird, right?
They say, nah, bro, where are you from? And then you say Cincinnati.
Yeah. Surprisingly, that is actually accurate to what I was trying to say. So thank you, Ben, for picking up on that, on the nuances of what I was attempting to communicate. Oh, man, that is funny.
If you want to know where someone's really from, you have to ask them twice.
Yeah, we have to preface the second ask with, nah, dog. Oh, man.
I think I'm missing something from that, but I'm not sure what.
Well, okay, so let's run the scenario. Ben, ask me where I'm from.
Hey, Cole, where are you from?
I am from a small town in north central Ohio called Mansfield.
Nah, dog. Where are you from?
Ah, you know, Cincinnati.
There you go.
Ah, yeah. Get it? Get it, David?
I think so.
Okay, let's break out the puppets. Make sure. Want to button it up?
Why, is this like an intervention now?
I asked if we should button it up.
The credit.
Man, I had a really delicious quesadilla for lunch today. It was black bean, chicken, and bacon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was really good. It was a lot of food. It's sitting in the fridge, most of it.
Everything's better with bacon.
You know what? I was initially turned off by the meme-ness of the bacon. I was wondering if my quesadilla was too meme-y, but I decided to go for it. I'd gotten the plain one enough times. It's kind of like, let's walk on the wild side. And it didn't disappoint.
I'm going to start using that in my vocabulary. So what was wrong with it? Did it taste bad? No, it tasted fine. Like, texture? No, texture was all right. It was just a little meme-y.
It tasted like Reddit.
He was afraid it was going to shank him.
It tasted like Reddit, by which I mean like the brim of Fedora.
Yeah.
So. Mob rule and anarchy?
Oh, good Lord.
Tastes like Teen Spirit.
Like 4chan.
Testing
everybody's gag reflex.
Moving along.
Yep, unseen.
So thank you so much for listening. There are some things you can do. You can subscribe to us, leave us a rating or review on iTunes. That really does help us out. I forget when the last time we got one was. It's been fairly recent, though. There's been an uptick in activity. So thanks, everybody,
thank you,
who's been doing that. Yeah, we really, really appreciate that. It validates us in a way that really is not narcissistic at all, I assure you. You can like us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/TheLevelPodcast. Which is a hip happening place where we do the multiplayer questions and things of that sort. Other shows in the network, we just added a new one, or rather made one public, Abject Suffering, which is a show that I do with Gary Butterfield of Watch Out for Fireballs, where we talk about bad games. It is really funny. That is now public and free for all, as opposed to just being a pay show. So that is all there and on the network. And as you're listening to this, you have a little bit more than a week to donate to the Watch Out for Fireballs Kickstarter, or to back the Watch Out for Fireballs Kickstarter. We have some stretch goals that we're working to, with a possibility for more stretch goals. Who knows, guys? Yeah, that is duckfeed.tv/Kickstarter. Did I miss anything, fellas?
I don't think so.
All right. Let's do the outros and Twitter, and then we're done. This has been Cole Ross. I am at Cole Ross on Twitter. That is KOLEROSS.
I am Dennis Furia. That is D Furia on Twitter.
I'm David Moneysmith. I'm at Moneysmith777 on Twitter.
Ben Merkel. I'm at Merkelizer.
Cool. I'm going to check something here.
You know, one of these days, I'm just going to be like, yeah, I'm at MySpace777 on Google Plus.
On Google Plus.
Let's have a hangout.
Okay, so you're...
so I actually use that a lot. It's a really, really nice program.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Your last tweet was on the 23rd of March. It was more recent than I thought, which was, I like the abstraction that mathematics provides. Other sciences, like materials engineering, just seem too concrete to me.
Oh, I see what you did there.
And the one before that, I don't think I saw the one before that. Which is, I'd like to tell you my thoughts on abstinence, but I'm waiting for the right time.
And then Rimshot.
And then the one before that was, you better come correct, son, otherwise you're just frontin'. Cole Ross from, I believe that was my housewarming party.
Yeah, I believe I have 20 minutes of Cole Ross dialogue on my phone as well.
Which it's pretty is, choice.
Which is why I should never run afoul of you. So, oh man, I think that's everything. Late.
I can't help think.
Even drop the S.
Ain't got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. That meme.
Man, somebody. Okay, so like I said, Open Office. If somebody plays that, it like spreads like wildfire. It's like the phenomena. It doesn't stop. Yeah. It's you said
that'd
this,
be a good way to fuck up productivity.
Productivity, what?
No.
Phenomena.
See?
Which is funny because that skit has a natural stopping point.
Yeah. Like, that
because,
one's tough.
Because it's always accelerating to the scat, but then it picks back up. Accelerating to the scat. Man, welcome.
Are you welcoming us as the way you welcome our listeners?
Yes.
Welcome to A Conversation with Cole.
Please read the informational safety card in the back of the seat in front of you.
This is the 2051st Conversation with Cole Ross.
Hey.
Cole Ross cannot be held liable for
has the beer
because he's Cole fucking Ross.
Actually, like, yeah, Cole actually had his middle name legally changed. He is now legally Cole fucking Ross.
Yeah,
it's
a smart move.
Yeah, it's the classic power play.
Yeah,
really, it's a standard form down at the courthouse. You know, it's, you know, file for marriage, petition for divorce, change your middle name to fucking.
Buy a Camaro.
Yeah. buy this sweet Camaro that a guy a couple of houses down needs to unload because his bitch wife won't let him keep it.